Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the place on your internet radio dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Well, I don't know about you guys, but here in the Washington, D.C. area, gas is almost $3 a gallon. So if you have been thinking about starting your own business, now's a really good time to put your thoughts into action because you're going to need to have your own gig just to fill up your gas tank this summer. We have got a great guest on the show today. We have Laurel Delaney here, and Laurel is an expert at helping small businesses take their businesses global. Laurel is just really knowledgeable in this area. She's the founder of Global Trade Source Limited, a global marketing and consulting firm that helps small businesses go global. She's the author of Start and Run a Profitable Exporting Business and has been recognized as the Small Business Administration's Illinois Exporter of the Year. She's here today to answer your questions about breaking through national borders with your products in a global economy. Welcome to the show, Laurel.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. How much is gas out there? You're in Illinois, right?
Yes.
What are you paying, a gallon?
Oh, it's running anywhere from about $3.10 up to as high as about $3.30 a gallon, you know, predicated on the geographic location. For example, like downtown Chicago, it's as high as $3.30. Mm-hmm. But out in the suburbs, it's running about maybe $3.06, $3.10 a gallon.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I got to tell you, it's getting really scary. And I'm starting to look at it and go, you know, when in the world is it going to stop? And, you know, with wages barely, not even keeping pace with the inflation rate in this country, it's almost like, you know, you got to have your own business just to keep pace with everything these days. Even if you have a full-time job, you can make some money on the side and at least take a family vacation in the van this summer.
But all the more reason to think outside our borders, right, to grow and expand to support the gas prices.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I guess that's why we have you here today, because you know all about that stuff. Listeners to the Lifestyle CEO have a product and many times have a service as well, but let's just start with products. They've got a product. It's selling really well in the States, maybe on the Internet. Maybe they even have a profitable retail store. And every now and then they get an inquiry, or probably on the Internet, probably more than that, they get an inquiry from another country. And the first thing you have to do, I guess, is determine whether or not it's a scam. But let's assume you get past that and it's not, and you'd like to export your goods to this country. Laurel, where do you start? What is the first thing you do if you're totally new to this to respond to an international inquiry to purchase your products?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a very broad question.
I know. I think we can start broad and then narrow it down.
Okay. I think a lot has to do with whether or not the person that's receiving that inquiry, if they already have a website. Because if you tell me that the person has a website and has an online business, that already narrows it down so that whoever it is that has sent the inquiry has more or less pre-qualified and determined that they really are interested in that person or that company's product.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, after that, when a business owner receives an inquiry, even for myself, after, you know, having an online presence for a number of years, I always turn to a couple of resources online. And the first big one is the United States Department of Commerce.
Okay.
And they can be found at www.doc.gov. And they offer a plethora of just international information that can help a small business owner take that first step to really go global, and in this instance, even help more or less have them walk you through the process. When you receive an inquiry, where do you go? Where do you turn? You know, what do you need to look for? Things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so, then there are others. For example, the U.S. Export Assistance Center through the International Trade Association
mm-hmm.
has a wonderful website as well. Okay. They can be found at www.ita.doc.gov, And they also have information pertaining to market research, how to find customers, look for importing wholesalers in countries that you're interested in doing business. They can even help you with transportation methods, you know, making sure that you get paid on a transaction, and it just goes on and on. But both these organizations are government organizations, and our tax dollars pay for this.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I highly, you know, urge your listeners, if they're thinking of going global, those are two great places.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I think I call it a real sleeper for small business owners is UPS. I think a lot of small businesses think of UPS as just a parcel company. You know, you send a package here or there locally or, let's say, regionally.
Mm-hmm.
And they are phenomenal when it comes to the global arena. They, too, offer all different types of resources and information. And I like to say that I think that they also can make a small business look large because they truly partner with small businesses,
mm-hmm.
minimize the risks and complexities of doing business internationally.
Yeah, and I guess that they really, really do want to get your business. So they have tailored a lot of their products and services over the last several years to account for very small businesses who may be operating from their homes, too.
Oh, absolutely. And because they have so many of these UPS retail stores now, you know, they work very closely with eBay, that, you know, you could literally, in the case with your listeners, if many of them are manufacturing cosmetics or if they're making them in their homes, let's say, they can take those products, they can package them up. If they're totally at a loss, this would be the worst case scenario, but they could package up those products, walk into a UPS retail store and say, look, here's what I want to do. I've got a customer in the United Kingdom. They've requested, you know, 6 or 7 cases of my products. I am clueless as to how to get it to the United Kingdom. What do you suggest I do? What do you propose? And UPS, and that's what they're all about. They can literally walk you through the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm perusing their website as you're talking, and they do have a global trade services page with tons of links with information that they have developed to help people get their products out there. Well, this is such an awesome start, Laurel. Now, tell me a little bit about some of the services that you offer that are tailored more specifically to people that, I mean, you can get a lot of general information from the links that you just mentioned, and that's very valuable. Thank you for that. But what if a business is really interested in learning about how these global matters can affect them specifically?
Well, in that case, again, you know, thanks to technology and the internet, you can basically do a search on just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you're thinking about selling your cosmetics to Iraq. Let's say you're considering that market, and again, you have no idea that that's not the place to really be selling your products. You could do a search, you could do embargo, comma, and do cosmetics, comma, and Iraq. And just by doing something that simple, you'd be surprised at what you can find. You could find immediately that there may be restrictions, there are boycotts, there are embargoes on cosmetics in that particular part of the world.
That's maybe.
Right. But that's part of what I do through my own business is I work with small businesses to really try and be as effective and efficient as possible at getting them up to speed on going global quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what are some of the things that you consider, you know, when you're thinking about expanding your business? I mean, there's obviously ways to expand a brand within the borders of the United States, maybe all of North America, Canada. But what sorts of things should a business owner consider when they're thinking about selling to another country? Let's just assume it's a country that where there's no embargoes in place, there's free trade, no problems, you know, generally speaking, associated with it. What are some of the things they should consider? And are there reasons why a business should look at themselves and say, you know what, we're not ready to take this step yet?
Those are very, very good questions. And the first, the most critical question that needs to be answered by a small business owner is they have to look almost as if they're looking in a mirror and ask themselves the question of, you know, am I successful with what I'm doing here in the United States? And if they can answer that question that yes, they are, then I always say to a small business owner, then they're in the ready state to go global.
Okay.
And then after that, things to consider, and this is to offer some tips to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Things that they need to consider is many small business owners have several products where they think they could more or less cross borders with all of those products, and that's not the way to start. I always suggest to a small business owner is to pick a product. And again, I know many of your listeners are in the cosmetics industry. So let's say that they have powder, face powder, foundation, eyeshadow, and lipsticks. Mm-hmm. And they find out of those four products that one, the lipsticks are selling like wildfire here in the United States.
Okay.
That's the product that they should focus on.
Okay.
Being a success here in the States, so it's absolutely hands down, it's lipsticks that is the name of the game for going global. So mm-hmm. they've selected a product. After that, the next step is that they have to pick a market because they can't be all things to all people. They can't say, I'm going to take those lipsticks and I'm going to sell them to Vietnam and the United Kingdom and Argentina and Japan. It just doesn't work that way. Typically, you don't have the resources to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be able to select a market.
Okay, so it's picking a market within a country, not just a country.
Correct.
Okay.
And to be able to pick that market, that's where it gets really tricky, very complex. And even for myself and working with clients, it's a lot of like due diligence, a lot of homework that you have to do to be able to determine which product is the most feasible for exporting. And that's where backing up again, the United States Department of Commerce, the U.S. Export Assistance Center, even UPS, those three entities alone can help you select the best market for your product.
Okay, that's great. So the first thing is to look at your business and see that at least one product is selling really, really well. Pick that product or maybe a subset of that product and don't try and pick all your products to start getting overseas and then pick a market and not just a country.
Correct.
Those are really great tips to start, and I know you have more. We're going to take our first break. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here with global trade export expert, Laurel Delaney, and she's sharing with us some tips and things that we need to consider when we're thinking about shipping our products around the globe. And before we took our break, Laurel reminded us that it's really important to remember not to be all things to all people. And hopefully, if your business has grown to the point where you are able to ship internationally and get some global recognition, you've already figured that out. But starting with picking a product and picking a market within a country and not just a country itself, those are two of Laurel's tips on what you should do first when you have an international opportunity. And Laurel's got some more things to share with us, some things to consider when you're thinking about going global. Tell us some more, Laurel.
Okay, it's a critical issue that a lot of small business owners forget about.
Mm-hmm.
Of it, and that is, there is no business without customers. So, they absolutely have to find the customers when they're launching, this product internationally.
Okay.
You know,
how is that different from picking your market? I mean, you pick your market and then the next step is to find the customers. Those are interrelated things?
Exactly. So if you've selected a market, for example, let's say you want to do business in Japan, you have to determine how are you going to sell your product in that market. And that is, you know, finding customers. Are you going to find the end users and sell one or two lipsticks to each consumer in Japan?
Uh-huh.
Or are you going to go big time and look for what are called importing wholesalers or distributors who will buy in volume and import your lipsticks into Japan and then distribute those lipsticks to stores all over Japan? There's a very big difference.
Well, now let's talk about a little bit about those differences. Let's just say you choose the end user route and you want to sell the lipsticks to individual people. Let's say you wanted to start by doing that on the internet. Would one of the first things you do go and get your domain name and the international extension for that country?
Yes, you could do that. That's considered aggressive. And why I say it's aggressive, the domain name in that country, yes, you can secure that. You can secure the domestic domain name. But keep in mind that domain name, you would have to consult with an international lawyer to protect the name itself then in a particular market. And I caution small business owners because it can get expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That you go to a different market, you need that same protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. I was reading an article in a small business magazine a few weeks ago about a company that was selling some product, I don't know, something hardware related that they were selling in another country. And their wholesale purchaser in that country ultimately started using their brand name in that country and started selling the product under the brand name as if they were the owner of the brand.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so again, a whole lot of things to think about, but
Look, it's one thing to reserve your company name and have
right.
the domain name. And even I have done that myself through my own business with globetrade.com.
Mm-hmm.
Others have the right to reserve that same domain name, and they have, by the way, globetrade.australia, which would be AU,
right,
and other parts of the world. So it just depends on how far you want to push this, how much protection mm-hmm. that you desire, and what is your big, you know, your strategic outlook, you know, in doing business with the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really, really good point. Well, And if someone consulted with a global trade expert such as yourself, you would be able to refer them to international attorneys or attorneys in the U.S. who could help them handle these issues?
Oh, absolutely. And I highly recommend, especially if your vision is to have your company not only, you know, go global, but then underneath that umbrella company that you will be launching several very important brands all over the world, that you need that intellectual property protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've done a couple of shows on that. Thanks for mentioning that. So aside from that issue, I know it's a huge one. We have to kind of want to get everybody back onto the global, you know, getting the products over there. Definitely want to take care of that issue. But let's just say, again, you want to go ahead and reach those individual users, those individual lipstick buyers, for example. In addition to getting the website extension there and hopefully being, you know, enjoying increased visibility in the country as a result, what other things would you do?
Okay, for end users in other countries, again, you could turn to eBay for your online presence because they have special, I call it like almost like online retail shops that you can send individual products to people all over the world.
Okay.
So eBay offers that. And then, of course, you can go through other organizations such as Yahoo Small Business, I believe, has the tools and the capabilities for you to sell individual products to end users all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I keep emphasizing in my mind, because I am well-versed in the subject matter, there is just a huge difference from deciding that you're going to sell just tubes of lipstick to a consumer or two, let's say in Japan, versus really thinking big, broad, and globally, that you want to literally take lipsticks and load up an entire 20-foot container that might be 50,000 tubes of lipstick,
mm-hmm.
sell it to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I guess I know that there are, you know, international trade shows and things of that nature where these wholesale purchasers and distributors come to check things out that might be available to do just that, right?
Right.
And so so you may do a trade show, an international trade show here in the States, or you may actually travel to Japan or whatever country it is and do a show there. What are some of the other things that you can do to introduce your product? Or what are some of the other things, too, Laurel, that you should consider when you're thinking about, you know, packing up 50 lipsticks, a whole pallet of 50,000 lipsticks and shipping them overseas?
Well, right, and typically someone that has received that type of interest from a customer, they could have received it online, a serious inquiry, or they could have, what you just brought up, they could have had a small exhibit at a trade show that may have been a trade show in the United States that offers an avenue within the exhibit for export-only interested companies, which a lot of organizations do that now. For example, in Illinois, we have the FMI Food Marketing Institute puts on a huge trade show every year, and they offer an opportunity where they subsidize exhibits for small businesses that are specifically interested in going global. And what that means, when you're positioned at an exhibit in that area, customers from all over the world then will traffic that area and express interest, and sometimes they even write orders during the show. But that's how it all starts. So if you receive an order for, instead of 50 tubes of lipsticks, let's just say 50 cases, the next consideration on that would be how to service that order. And that's where you would, again, you would go to someone that has the capabilities, an organization that has the capabilities to know how to get those cases to the customer in Japan. And that would be a great transportation company. Again, we've already talked about UPS, but that's what UPS is all about.
Okay.
And they can handle something like that, and they'll give you all the answers. They'll tell you how to package it, how to label it, if there's any restrictions, what, you know, special documentation that would be required.
Mm-hmm.
Even provide what I call landed costs. And what I mean by that, the lipstick may cost you a dollar. You're charging your customer $1.20. But then the transportation, the customs, the duty, and any other additional taxation might put it at a landed price to your customer of $1.30 or $1.40. That's what an organization like UPS can do for you. They can even tell you what the price of your product is going to be once a customer receives it at the other end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you really need a good transportation partner, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it can be UPS. You could check your Yellow Pages. You can look up what I think is also a great partner, is look up a good freight forwarder. Because a freight forwarder serves as an international consultant to you nearly on a free basis. I believe they only charge about $150 or $175 per transaction to handle everything for you on getting those 50 cases of lipstick, in this case, to Japan.
Now, what is that called again, Laurel?
Freight forwarder.
Freight forwarder?
Freight forwarder, right.
Can you spell that?
Freight is F like Frank, R-E-I-G-H-T like Tom.
Uh-huh.
Order is F like Frank, O-R-W-A-R-D-E-R.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. I was having trouble hearing that. Okay, a freight forwarder. Okay, that's wonderful. Now, what you're describing is basically contracting somebody to just basically handle everything. And I think for small business owners delving into these details, that may be a really economical way to start out, because you're going to spend more than a couple hundred dollars just in your own time figuring all this stuff out the first time through.
Yeah, it's what I call it, the best kept secret. It's either, you know, go through a freight forwarder or, again, UPS. Either one are, it's what I could consider very secure. UPS has been around forever, so I'm very comfortable and very confident and secure at working with UPS.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they have offices all over the world. You just can't go wrong. So if something ever happened that one of your packages was stuck at a border, get clearance, or let's just say, God forbid, that you could not receive your payment, UPS steps in. That's how, I mean, they're really good at that.
Right, and if you hire a freight forwarder, they would handle all those details for you as well.
Right, and that is correct. And a place that you can go, I can't recall if they list suggestions, recommendations on other freight forwarders all over the United States, but I used to visit freightnet.com.
Okay.
F-R-E-I-G-H-T-N-E-T.com.
Okay.
Or just, again, a plethora of information having to do with freight forwarders and anything to do with transportation on a global basis.
Right, right. Okay, well, we're going to take our next break, Laurel. This is just a boatload of really helpful information. And I know a lot of people that are looking to get their products outside of the United States and start generating some international recognition. We're really getting some really good information here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about payment methods and collection of any taxes that might be applicable. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. If you have a question for Laurel, you can call your question in about your global business, or if you're thinking about going global, you can talk to her yourself, 800-773-0355. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm Donna Maria, here with Laurel Delaney this afternoon. She is a global export expert. That's so funny to say that I haven't messed it up yet. I'm hoping I don't for the rest of the show. Laurel can help you get your products into a variety of different global markets. And we've been talking about all the details associated with that. And, Laurel, I'm seeing that there's lots and lots of things to consider here, but it looks like, you know, it can to some people probably look a little bit overwhelming, but I would guess that, you know, you've been doing this for a while, and is it sort of like once all the pieces in place, it's kind of like, you know, you can do it over and over again without much trouble once you know how it's done?
Oh, it is. If you could set it up almost as if it's a template, and I did just that when I started doing business in Japan, that once I sold one customer, you know, it sounds almost crude, but it's just you start knocking them down. It's like a dominoes effect. You have, you know, one customer that you satisfied, and then you have another one that you exceed maybe their expectations. And you just, as you mentioned earlier, it's just like climbing a mountain, and all of a sudden you just feel like you get to the top, and you're literally ruling the world, so to speak. So it's a lot of fun, and I urge all of your listeners to take the first step on it. It's really not that complicated.
Well, now, do you specialize specifically in products, or do you do any work with service providers as well?
Most of my work is with companies that produce a product.
Okay.
Something that is tangible, that you can actually, you know, touch and feel.
And so when you sell those products overseas, do you have to also be concerned about tax-related issues? Do you collect a tax for the U.S. government like you do for your state when you sell something interstate?
Well, when it's international, it's more called customs duties and tariffs.
So it's kind of it's kind of like the same thing, just a different word for it?
Basically, yes. And that always was something that even for myself with my own business that I always wrestled with. It's almost like I hated dealing with that aspect of the international transaction. But your good transportation partner, they know absolutely hands down how to coach you on that and really tell you what to expect. And they can give you those numbers up front.
Yeah, I'm sure they have computer programs. You push a button, you tell them it's, you know, $300 in tariffs. And will they then also sometimes collect it for you and remit it for you so you don't have to worry about it?
Well, when you say collect and remit, what they do is they factor that in to the total transaction price, and you can structure your deal in such a way that if it's not cost prohibitive mm-hmm. for your customer, that they can be responsible for those additional costs.
Okay, okay. Well, they normally are in other transactions, so that would make sense.
Right. And that's backing up a bit when I made the statement about landed cost. You know, many small business owners, I don't think they know what that means, and that's what that means. You've heard of or you may have seen an acronym, an abbreviation that says CIF when it is relating to an international sale. And what that stands for is cost, insurance, and freight. And it's all bundled up to give your customer a total price on what they can expect to pay on importing, again, back to the lipstick scenario,
mm-hmm.
so to import 50 cases of lipstick into Japan. Here's the final cost, and then they take that final cost, and then they divide it by the number of tubes of lipsticks.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very detail-oriented, but it's kind of fun once you get it and you master it. And when you divide it by the number of lipsticks,
right.
that's where you get the single unit price that
right.
the customer is responsible for on that lipstick.
Right.
So again,
right.
they have originally started out with a dollar for that tube of lipstick. By the time they clear everything, transportation, insurance, freight, customs, duties, it may end up, it costs them $1.25 in their country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, again, that points out a point that you mentioned earlier about the benefit of packing as many individual lipsticks as you can into that box, because the more you fit in there, the less the individual cost of each item is going to be, and therefore the less the end user is ultimately going to have to pay for it, which can factor into the attractiveness of the product for purchase anyway.
Well, yes, and boy, you've got that down to a science. That's absolutely correct. And you really want to work very closely with your customer. It's a great, I think it serves as great leverage mm-hmm. to convince your customer to stay competitive in their market. They don't want to order, you know, 2 cases of lipsticks. They need to order 50 to 100 cases of lipstick to bring that lower price per unit, that price per unit, the landed cost, as low as possible, competitive in their market.
Yes, it's obviously very important to have, if you want to go that route, that wholesale distribution route, to have your manufacturing capabilities in place so that you can produce the maximum amount of that product within your capabilities.
Absolutely correct.
So let's talk for a second about payment-related issues. I mean, I know I get a lot of emails and questions from people who receive inquiries from other countries, and there's all these convoluted, here's my credit card number, and you'll make $1,000 when you do this. And obviously, some of them, it's not even worth talking about. They're obviously scams, and hopefully everybody just knows to hit the delete key. But what are some of the different scenarios that you can work in terms of payment? I mean, it could be as simple as, I guess, a bank draft or a check or, you know, checking a credit card number or something. What are some of the other ways that these kinds of payments can take place?
Okay. I may get in a lot of trouble for saying this, but two things that I wouldn't do, and that is sell an open account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's, you know, obviously it's way too risky.
Right. That's obviously, you know, you ship the goods and then they pay.
And you'd be surprised how many, and I've even done that myself when I first started out.
Yeah, right? I've talked to some people who have and they never got paid. So you're not going to get in trouble. Second one.
And the second is I urge small business owners not to use credit cards on the transactions. I know many want to, and they feel very secure with that, but it's equally as risky because if the customer doesn't like what they received, or let's say it really was fraudulent and it was spam on the inquiry that you received in the first place, They can say they're putting it on a credit card. You put it through and it goes through, and they can just say that they never received the goods when they did receive the goods and can cancel that transaction in a heartbeat.
Now, if they did receive the goods, now tell me this, what if they did receive the goods, obviously that's confirmed because somebody signed for them.
Right, but I'm saying that they can claim that either they did not receive the goods
mm-hmm.
or that something was wrong with the goods when they received it.
Right, and I guess with some cards, you can also go back to your card issuing company and say these products were defective, I want the charge taken off. And then they'll reverse the charge, and you as the product manufacturer end up with a deficit on your merchant account.
Right, so there's the bottom line on that is there's just too many variables, too many ambiguities where there's room for all sorts of things that can take place, and you don't want to ever feel uncomfortable and lack the confidence that you need to go through with the international transaction.
So what do you recommend?
So what I recommend is, as a first step, if you're just doing a small amount of business, again, going back to the case, individual tubes of lipstick, I would say your best bet is PayPal.
PayPal?
Yeah. And I'm not, in doing any business with PayPal, I just recommend them because I'm familiar with their service. It's a good service. And I believe on the transactions less than U.S. dollars, $10,000, you really fare pretty well. It's not risky, and the second is there's a percentage of the transaction that you pay for that service,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's worth it for peace of mind.
Okay.
Okay.
So PayPal does a lot of the checking on the front end, because I know you can use credit cards on PayPal too.
Yes, but at least you have a big company. You've got like PayPal behind you
mm-hmm.
online transactions, and I'm leaning more toward not the credit card transactions, but just the online method of bank-to-bank that PayPal oversees.
Right, because they confirm that the funds are in the account before they process it.
Right, and I like that. I think that's a good method. Again, I'm only talking about like smaller-scale transactions. When you get into larger, volume shipments,
uh-huh.
Anything, I always like to say even $5,000, but, if you go beyond the $10,000 mark,
mm-hmm.
then you really need to work with your banker. And
okay.
Everybody has a bank. And hopefully you've got a bank that is well-versed on international transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And they then can guide you on the options that you have on methods of payments.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention two of them that many of your listeners may have heard or be familiar with. One is letters of credit.
Okay, letters of credit. What's the other one?
Second one are site drafts.
Site drafts. Okay, when we come back from our final break, we're going to talk about those because this is really critical as you got to get paid for your stuff. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're going to go to our final break right now. Laurel will be right back with the rest of your helpful information here.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, guys, to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we're coming down the home stretch with global export expert Laurel Delaney from GlobeTrade.com. And she was just sharing with us, in addition to PayPal, a couple of other good ways to collect payment for goods that you ship overseas. Laurel, you mentioned the site draft and the letters of credit. Can you briefly describe both of those?
Well, now that is definitely an interview all on its own. It's a very complex.
Well, maybe just a short little bit of highlights so that we can kind of get an idea, just an overview of how each of them works, and then we'll have a little bit more information. We can do some more research on our own.
With both of these vehicles, with the letter of credit and the site draft, you would need a good international banker that can help you with it. And secondly, getting back to the freight forwarder or, for example, UPS, transportation experts also can walk you through the process and actually create and take care of the documentation on this. But a letter of credit serves as a vehicle that documents the international transaction in such a way to guarantee that the small business owner gets paid on the transaction.
Okay.
You know, that's really keeping it simple, but it's documentation to support that, yes, in fact, you're shipping 50 cases of lipsticks to Japan, and that once it actually has been shipped, there's certain documentation, receipts that are issued after it lands in Japan that support this vehicle to prove that this transaction took place.
Okay.
Or you'll get paid.
Okay.
And it's the same thing with the site draft. It's a tool, it's a method of getting paid that leans against, let's say, your truck bill of lading and your ocean bill of lading that proves to you, to your bank, and to your end user, the customer that's importing the product, that the transaction has gone through. And as soon as the importer signs on all of that at his or her end, it then automatically makes certain that you get paid at your end then here in the United States.
Okay, okay. Wow, so it really does pay to take a look at all the options because there's more than one way to skin this cat.
Right, and the site draft, it's not quite as secure it's definitely not as secure as the letter of credit. It's not quite as secure as I even feel comfortable using because there's always the case that the goods might not get there in the amount of time that you'd like it to get there. There could be, you know, just delays because of transportation, or it could be delays because of import restrictions. But you don't get paid until they actually clear the goods at the port of entry where your customer is at. And it's a little risky.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your team, your transportation team at the other end that's looking out for you, but you still have that. There's that little bit where you could have a problem. Whereas with the letter of credit, and especially if it's called an irrevocable letter of credit, where no one can make any changes to this vehicle payment, that is far more secure.
Okay.
But you also pay a little price. I think it's like 1/8 of 1% of your total transaction price for the letter of credit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a fee on the site draft that I can recall.
Well, that sounds like a fairly small amount to pay for the kind of peace of mind that you're saying you get from a letter of credit.
Absolutely.
Now, you've got a lot of resources at your website at globetrade.com, Laurel. Is that right? You've got a lot of stuff there that's available to help people. Tell me a little bit about that.
I almost want to say that there isn't anything that you can find on GlobeTrade, and you wonder how I actually make a living because there's so much that's offered for free on a complimentary basis to anyone that visits the site. But one of the most popular tools on GlobeTrade is, and I believe it's right on the homepage in the paragraph that leads into welcoming the visitors, is our blog, which is called the Global Small Business Blog, but we've coined it in a much more fun-savvy sort of way, calling it Border Buster.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
When you go and visit that blog, you will see we try and make an entry just about every week on tools and resources and tips to help entrepreneurs and small businesses go global. But on the right side panel of that blog, there are also features of the top 10 places to visit to help you to go global.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them I've already mentioned.
Mm-hmm. But you've got a lot more here. I'm taking a look at it now. This is great.
Yeah, and then there's also, we feature the column that I write for Entrepreneur Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
That is called Global Village.
Okay.
We feature every month, we post that as well, because I have found it really is now covering all of the topics that we have just discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to really, you know, have the market presence to have people all over the world find you, which is building the website. You know, how do you pick your product? How do you pick the market? How do you segment it? How do you find customers? How do you get it there transportation-wise? And how do you get paid? But we focus on every one of those, what could be considered stumbling blocks for small businesses. We help remove barriers and the obstacles for them so that they really can get up and running after they read these columns.
Well, and that's really what this show, The Lifestyle CEO, is all about. It's about breaking everything down to its smallest components and removing some of those barriers so that you as a small business can grow, expand, get your name out there, get your products out there. And really, in this economy, the sky's the limit. Isn't that right, Laurel?
I love that. I don't know, you just say the sky is the limit, the world, there are no limits, because, you know, you're really trying to encourage everyone to do business with the world. And I think it was, and I hate to steal a line from, I think UPS shared this with me a couple weeks ago, about literally, you know, putting not the wind behind your sails, but almost, you know, like that, to get everyone on the same page about doing business with the world. And it really is not that complicated.
Right. And you've got a book, too, Laurel. Is that available at your website?
It is on the website in the category of global books.
Okay, good. So you've got your book available for purchase there, and I guess you also list some other ones. And yours is called Start and Run a Profitable Exporting Business.
Right. And then there's also, since the publication of that book, we've also released two e-books. One is called Insanely Global! And the other book is Godzilla Global Marketing.
Okay, and I see I see these also available for purchase as e-books at your website.
Right.
That's great. Well, for people who, I know it sounds like you do, like you said, you have a whole lot of free information there, but for people who are interested in getting some more personalized assistance from someone like you, how would you recommend they go about doing that?
They can email me at ldelaney@globetrade.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can call at 773-381-1700.
Okay, good.
The one will get to me.
Okay, great. And your services are, you can tailor your services breaking down from the general information and the great information that the books provide, you can tailor your service for an individual business owner.
Right. And for example, on the 45 minutes, let's just say, that we've spent together, typically a small business owner may have, on all of these subjects, all of these topics, it may have, it may have been where they'd spend maybe 3 months or 4 months trying to access this information. So what I try and do is get it done in a couple of hours and then charge on a consultancy basis, which is not that expensive. So it really gets them up and running a lot faster.
That's great. Of course, that's really great, because so many small businesses kind of want to talk with someone for an hour or two to see what's involved before they bite off a bigger chunk.
Right. I think it's like the difference between, you know, do you want to incorporate your own business, you know, whether you set it up as a Chapter S corporation or an LLC, do you want to do it yourself, or do you want to hire an attorney that might get it done in 2 or 3 hours?
And you don't have to worry about it. Well, Laurel, that is great. I want to encourage everyone to go and listen to this show one more time if you're really interested in taking your business global. Take some notes, and also to go to globetrade.com and check out Laurel's free information there in the form of the blog, and also get your hands on her book and a couple of her e-books there, and contact her yourself if you have some further questions through her website. We've got some great shows coming up for you guys. Next week, we're going to have Kathy Townsend, Senior Business Development Coach at Peter Montoya, and a graduate of Coach University, who's going to be here to talk to us about how a business coach can help serve your business and help it grow. And then on May the 8th, we've got a leading estate planning attorney who is an expert at helping small business owners plan for the future of their businesses and protect their assets for the future and as a part of their estate. I hope you guys will check us out next week and the following week for those shows. In the meantime, visit the website at lifestyleceo.com and break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Have a great week, guys. See you next week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.